John Bunyan spent 12 years in prison. And during that time, he wrote various books, but the one that's most well known is the book called Pilgrim's Progress. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, Christian goes on a journey seeking the celestial city, that's heaven. But he's weighed down by a heavy load that's strapped to his back. This heavy load represented the sins that he'd committed and the guilt that weighed him down. On his journey from the house of the interpreter, Christian finally reaches a place of deliverance, the cross of Calvary, and the open sepulchre of Christ. And there, the straps that bound Christian's burden to him broke, and his burden rolled away down into the open sepulchre. From there, he continued his journey towards the celestial city, meeting and overcoming many obstacles along the way. The things that we've done, or the things that we do, which we are ashamed of, the things we wished had never happened. Maybe it was something in a short space of time, a few scathing words that broke a relationship. An act that we've hidden from someone. A secret that you don't want to be revealed. Unethical decisions. A moment where you took something that wasn't yours. And the list could go on. Or maybe it's a lifestyle thing. Recreational drugs or alcohol, infidelity, deception, hate, lies, gossip, abusiveness. And again, the list could go on. Now, supposing there were a set of diaries that you had access to, documenting every second of your life, what would you do with those diaries? Would you perhaps take away a whole week from your diary? Or would you want to get rid of the whole diary? We don't want to feel guilty, do we? We don't want to be in a place where we feel ashamed. We want to remove the event from our memory. We want to go on as though it had never happened because it is weighing us down. And that's where Psalm 38 comes to the forefront. In this psalm, it's an incredible psalm because it is telling us or talking to us about a person who feels weighed down. It's important to read these psalms because it helps us to recognize the feelings that we go through are the same feelings that the scriptures deal with. This is Psalm 38, a psalm of David. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds, my strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I've become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait on you. You will answer, Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I'm about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Saviour. What a state to be in, isn't it? You can understand when I first read this psalm and was asked to preach on it, I thought, oh my, what a depressing situation. And when you read that, you get the sense that the psalmist doesn't even have any real hope. Everything seems to be going wrong. Everything seems to be going bad and against him. And he knows that it's because of the weight and guilt of his sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. That's what sin does, doesn't it? You know, physically, we know that there is a limit to the amount of weight we can carry. Some people can carry more than others, but at some point, even the strongest person reaches their limit and can't carry it anymore. It's the same with the weight of sin. It pulls us down. It makes us feel unworthy. It holds us back. And it's this weight that at some point is going to be too much to bear. The psalmist says, I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back's filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. What an awful state to be in. And this is the growing strength that guilt has if we don't confess it. We feel this in times of unspiritual decisions that we may make. We may think that they don't matter in the long term, but they really do. And as we keep on making these decisions, as we keep on cutting corners, as we keep on compromising standards, as we keep on hiding immoral failures, as we keep doing this and want to stay true to who we are, believers in Christ, it will start to haunt us. The weight will start to affect us. Indeed, there is definitely evidence that physical pain can come about because of the guilt of sin. But let me make it clear, that is not all the time and that is not all pain. I'd like to make that clear, because as Jesus said to his disciples about the man who was born blind, the disciples said to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus replied, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. But physical pain can come about as a result of sin. And David says, I'm like the deaf who cannot hear. I'm like the mute who cannot speak. I've become like one who does not hear, who cannot offer any reply. Now, someone once relating a childhood experience said that when they were kids, their mum said to them they were to stay at home because she had to go out for about 5 or 10 minutes, but you stay at home. So the moment that she left, They saw their opportunity and they ran across the road to the shop and they bought some lollies. And then they rushed back home and sat there eating the lollies. And they just finished eating the lollies when Mum walks in. Now, Mum always knew. We always got caught. They said, we don't know why we tried to hide it, because if we did anything wrong, she always knew. When she came home, she had the question. We had the question. Did you go to the shop? No, Mum. We didn't go to the shop. Well, stick out your tongues, Mum said, and they stuck out their tongues, which were a lovely, bright blue colour. I said, what do you say? There's nothing else you can say, is there? Mums are very clever, aren't they? And so are dads, too. My daughter, even though she's 43, she wonders sometimes how I know certain things about what she's been doing. I said, you would be surprised if you knew how I knew what you've been doing. There's no good me telling her how I know, otherwise she would find that she could stop that, wouldn't she? No, but that's like what it's like with God, isn't it? We try sometimes to think of reasons or to rationalize when we've hurt somebody. But God knows, doesn't he? What do we say when we've hurt others? When we know that we are the cause of the breakdown of a friendship? What do we say when we've hurt God? What can we say that's going to fix it? That's how it works, isn't it? We hate feeling guilty. We no longer want to feel the shame of what we've done. We don't want to be in that place where it's always on our minds. We want to go on as though it had never happened. But like the psalmist, we often feel that we can't. God, are you listening? God, are you there? Are you still hearing me? And as David said, do not forsake me, Lord. You see, this is what sin does, doesn't it? This is what these events do. The sins that we hold on to, whether they're recent or in the distant past, they affect our relationship with God. And we can feel sure, some of us, that maybe we've done too much wrong for God to worry about us. Why would God accept me when I think like this? When I act this way? When this is part of my history, why would God want me? What could he do with me? How can I dare to come into his presence when I've done these things? It affects our relationships with God and with others. We may say, I've hurt too many people. I've hidden too many things. If they really knew me, they wouldn't accept me. And it hurts and it impacts our relationships when we feel unworthy and when we feel hopeless. When we feel ashamed, where we feel trapped. But the question is, are we trapped? Does the rest of our life have to be defined by an action that we have done in the present or in the past? Do we have to keep on holding on to it? Do we have to keep on reliving the consequences? Do we have to keep on living in fear because of the effect of the sin? These are the questions that people are asking themselves. And the answer to these questions is no. You are not defined by your past when you belong to Jesus and you confess to him. We need to understand this so clearly. We are not defined by our past. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11 says this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the chances are we may somewhere fit into something in that category. But keep reading, because Paul says this: but that is what some of you were. Not are, but that is what some of you were. You are not defined by your past. The Corinthian church wasn't defined by the past. Paul goes on to say in verse 11, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen.
Amen.
You are not defined by your past. We can say, Jesus, here I am. I need your grace. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. You are not defined by your past, and you don't have to keep on reliving the consequences of that. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12 says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And in Psalm 32, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. But finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Isn't that good news? All my guilt is gone. We are completely different. We are free from the past. There's been a complete change in who we are. We don't have to keep on reliving the consequences of the past. We can move on as though it never happened. It's a transformation that takes place in our lives. Now, I thought this was interesting, something I found out. When you think about butterflies, aren't they beautiful? Beautiful colours, and they flit. Seems almost aimlessly. They've obviously got purpose in mind, but they seem to be all over the place like that, don't they? They're so beautiful, and the colours of the wings. But when you look at them, do we call them caterpillars with wings? We don't, do we? We never call butterflies caterpillars with wings. We call them butterflies. That's right. Because they're completely different to what they were before. That's what Jesus offers us, isn't it? That we can be completely different to what we were before we met him and before we came to him. Our sinful past has been removed so far from us that there's been a transformation. You know, God buries our sins into the depths of the oceans, the deepness of the sea. And then he puts up a sign, no fishing here. Isn't that good news? The word we use is justification, or being justified. What justification is this. My conscience accuses me. I've sinned against God's commandments. I'm still inclined toward evil because of my sinful nature. But without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ, as if I had never sinned or been a sinner. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. That's what justification is. Just as if I'd never sinned. as if I had been as obedient as Christ. Christ's obedience is now my obedience. That's justification. And that's why forgiveness is so powerful. That's why we don't have to live the consequences. And also that's why we don't have to fear the effects of sin. Do you know, I love the letters of John, that disciple who referred to him, the disciple who loved Jesus. Jesus in their earlier day called James and John the sons of thunder. Makes you wonder what sort of characters they were, doesn't it? But later on, John writes in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way we are complete, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Not in the future, not in heaven, but in this world we are like him. Jesus wraps around us his robe of righteousness. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? I know on one occasion Marion had been going through quite a hard spell, and she was praying one day, and after she prayed she just sat there just thinking about Jesus and about God. And as she was there, she saw Jesus in this, like a picture before her. She saw Jesus walking towards her. And as he came close, he opened his robe and he wrapped it around her and embraced her. I have a job to tell that story. But she said, just when she needed it, God reassured her of his great love for her. Isn't God wonderful? Jesus wraps around us his robe of righteousness. John says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear from you, because fear has to do with punishment. You don't have to be afraid of the effects of your sin, because it has been dealt with. Instead, you can be at peace. The story is told of a dad and his son who were driving down the road one day, and they'd got the car window open, and the son had a bee allergy. And as they were driving, a bee flew in through the window. His dad reached out and grabbed hold of the bee, and he held on to it. After a little while, he let the bee go. The child was afraid. Why did you let the bee go? The dad showed the child his hand and he said, here is the sting. The bee cannot sting anymore. Now, scripture talks about Jesus taking the sting of death. Taking the sting of death, the sting of guilt, the sting of shame, the sting of consequences, and the sting of hurt. The sting of everything that allows sin to continue to affect us. It's all gone, which makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it? Many people have done that thing you've done, the decision you've made, the words that you said, the actions that you did, the lifestyle that you had, that thing, and you want to be free. You want it to be as though it had never happened. You don't want to feel guilty. You don't want to have that event constantly revived in your memory. And the reality is, it can be like that. All we need to do is to come to Jesus Christ and confess our sins, our weaknesses and faults. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, you complete it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. No, thank you, brother. All our unrighteousness. All we need to do is look to Jesus. Look at the nail-scarred hands and recognize that he did this because he wants us to be with him. And he wants our life to be just as if we had never sinned. That we wake up every day, to a new week, to a new month, to a new year, to a new decade, and know that all things are new, and know that the truth of the promise of forgiveness is a promise which says you don't have to feel guilty anymore. You don't have to feel ashamed anymore. That memory is gone. You can go on from this moment as if it never happened. I think that is amazing. And you know, that same power that raised Jesus from the grave is at work in us who believe. That's what the Bible says. The grace of Jesus Christ is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I would like just to leave the following scripture with you, which I believe is a very powerful scripture, from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Sides are on fire. no soundness in my flesh. Those who lay snares, who seek to take my life, they meditate on treachery. Like the deaf, I do not hear. Like the mute who cannot speak. O Lord, I wait for you, O Lord my God, who will answer when I pray. For I pray only, do not let them rejoice over me, those who boast against me when my foot slips, for I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity, I am sorry for my sin. Those who are foes without cause are mighty, and many are those who hate me for no reason. Those who give me evil from good are my adversaries, cause I pursue good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Do not be far from me, make haste to help me. O Lord, myself.